Hey guys, welcome back to the Filmmakers Podcast. My name is Andrew Garner, and today we'll be talking about a genre that makes you sit on the edge of your seat, makes you squirm with anticipation. That, of course, is the thriller genre. This is a genre that a lot of people enjoy because they want to feel the sense of danger, like wanting to jump out of their skin without the gore that you kind of get through horror movies. And the thriller is like the most perfect place for that. Some new thriller movies you see, of course, nowadays, they're very more focused on the anticipation part. And I think that really came from Alfred Hitchcock, who I'm going to talk about today, who kind of made thriller mainstay in people's households. He is an amazing, amazing director and filmmaker and writer and producer at the thriller genre. And I think he really made it his own heading into the late 40s, 50s, and kind of into the 60s. So we'll talk about him a little bit today. So check it out today on the Filmmakers Podcast. He did have his flaws. He was kind of a misogynist. He wanted actors to act like sheeps. He even said in an interview, actors should just be sheeps. They shouldn't do anything else but read my lines. And that was huge. Because he didn't work with a lot of actors. A lot of actors came back. We'll talk about one today in James Stewart. He plays two roles within the three films we talk about today. So it's really hard for him to gain actors' trust when he is, one, maybe not casting them because they won't advance to his sexual advances, like Tippi Hedren. She pretty much got blacklisted from Hollywood for years, and Hitchcock ruined her career. And then you have ones that come back because they just like the structure that Hitchcock's give to you, like James Stewart. One thing he does is he casts beautiful blondes in every role, you know, from Janet Leigh in Psycho, from Grace Kelly in Rear Window, and of course, Kim Novak in Vertigo. That's just kind of what he does. He casts a beautiful blonde, very strong beautiful blondes, may I add. You'll see in these movies that they are very, very strong in their roles, and the men's are somewhat flawed in their roles, so he kind of switches the gender roles. Especially in the 1950s and 60s when these movies were a hit. So we'll talk about today. We'll talk about a couple themes that we will get into, like voyeurism, the theme of a MacGuffin, shots, sound, sexuality, all that stuff will come out today in Hitchcock's work. So the first theme I kind of want to tackle is the theme of voyeurism, looking into other people's lives when they don't realize you're doing this. And this isn't apparent in a lot of his movies. I never realized like how much voyeurism is huge in Hitchcock's movies. It's crazy to think that he has a great eye of peeking into other people's lives and bringing the audience along. So the number one movie I'd want to talk about is Rear Window. Rear Window's whole premise is pretty much about a guy spending his time with his broken leg in his apartment, you know, looking through his neighbor's lives. And that guy is played by James Stewart. He plays Jeff Jeffries, or LB. And he spends the whole time, he gets wrapped up using his camera lens to look into other people's lives. And it's crazy to think, because he's ignoring his girlfriend, Lisa Vermont, played by Grace Kelly. He's ignoring her the whole time. He's just, you know, he just wants to see how other people are living while he's locked up. He spent his whole time being a photographer, and he's gone to Africa, he's gone to NASCAR races, video or photographing these races, and now he's locked up in his room with a cast on his leg, and he just wants to get out. He doesn't want to be stuck in this room, and the whole movie, may I add, is shot within this guy's room. Yes, you look out of his window into other people's windows, but it's all shot in this cramped little like studio apartment that is supposed to be in Greenwich Village. Alfred Hitchcock built a whole set on the Hollywood lot. And it's crazy to think. It looks just like New York. It's amazing to think that he did such a marvelous job creating like a New York village in LA. But we'll get, like, that's just what Hitchcock does. He goes over the board. But it's all shot in this apartment. You look into other people's lives. He looks into his very attractive blonde neighbor across the street in her bikini. You see his neighbor to the right of him playing the piano, practicing the piano over and over again. You see the couple right across from him that have to sleep out on their balcony because it's too hot during the summers. The couple down to the right of him on the first floor, maybe she's contemplating suicide the whole time. You really don't know. And then, of course, you get to Lars Thorwood, his neighbor right across, where who murders his wife, essentially. And it the whole point of the thriller is, will they, won't they? And there's a beautiful scene of voyeurism when LB or JF Jeffries is staring out at his girlfriend, Lisa Vermont, scaling the building pretty much to get into Lars' house. She's doing stuff that women wouldn't really do back then. And that's just kind of how Hitchcock wanted to paint his actresses. He wanted to paint them in the eye of being the strong one in the relationship. Jeff was flawed for looking to other people's rooms. He's being ignoring his girlfriend. He's doing all this stuff just to see into other people's lives. So he's flawed in that way. And Grace Kelly as Lisa is the strong one. She supports him. She doesn't really support him looking to other rooms. She wants to go out though. And it's just crazy to see the dynamic flip. Another form of voyeurism in the film Vertigo is James Stewart plays another character again. That just shows that James Stewart liked working with Hitchcock's philosophy of actors should just be sheep. They should just read the lines. He did a great job at it, too. He plays John Scotty Ferguson, a former detective who pretty much has to give up his job because he gains vertigo after like a rooftop chase. So he can't really look up into buildings anymore. And he is hired by his friend Gavin Elster to tail his wife, Madeline Elster, who's played by Kim Novak, another beautiful blonde. And he follows her all around San Francisco, and she never notices him. He's following her around. He's tailing her when she's staring at a painting for an hour, when she sits in an apartment. He's telling her the whole time, and it's just that sense of voyeurism. Like, you're really never going to know if they're going to find out if they're going to get caught. Like, in Rear Window, he does get caught by his neighbor, and the neighbor comes to kill him. But it's kind of that scary thing, like, will they, won't they get caught? And that's very much in these films. The film Psycho, you see Norman Bates, played by Anthony Perkins, creeping in through a peek hole into Marion Crane or Janet Lee. Marion Crane, played by Janet Leigh's hotel room as she's showering. And it's creepy, it's suspenseful, because will they notice the hole that he's peeking through, and will they get mad? And it kind of feels like she's might get mad at you because you're peeking through the hole. And I just find it fascinating that he uses voyeurism in such a way that it makes you feel like you're watching these people's lives. And if you get caught, you get caught in real life. Another theme is the MacGuffin. The MacGuffin is something that kind of gets the ball rolling in films. It could be an object. It usually is an object that gets the ball rolling. So the MacGuffin in Rear Window would be, the camera and the camera lens that Jeff uses to spy into other people's rooms. If he didn't have that camera lens, then he wouldn't be able to see into other people's lives. He wouldn't be able to peer into his neighbors. So if that was completely gone, the movie would have no premise. It probably wouldn't be made. The MacGuffin in Vertigo is the necklace that was given to Madeline by her grandmother. That kind of kicks off the theme. Is she kind of possessed by her grandmother? Is she doing all this stuff as her grandmother? So this kind of gets the ball rolling. I'd also like to say, like, Vertigo maybe as itself could be a MacGuffin, even though it's kind of a mental thing and not like a physical object. But if James never got vertigo, he wouldn't have to be in this situation. He would still be working at his detective job for the police department. So you can also add in the vertigo as itself. And then, of course, Psycho. Marion Crane steals $40,000 from her boss, and she takes off to pretty much go on the lam. So you can say the $40,000 is the MacGuffin as well, and that's what Hitchcock does. He does a great job giving you an object that kicks the ball rolling on these films. And all these films have amazing MacGuffins that lead to different things and kind of hype in the plot. Next, we should look at a theme of shots. He has a very good eye on how to shoot a character and then pan left or right to display another object in the back foreground. And this, I couldn't talk about Rear Window enough. He uses his shots to peer into other people's houses. So he's panning from the right with his neighbor with the piano all the way back to Lars killing his wife. So his shots are very particular. He does use the pan shot very well. And when we look into the indie comedy genre, you'll see Wes Anderson does a lot of the same things. He'll do panning shots. But yeah, just shots are wonderful, wonderful thing that Alfred Hitchcock uses to create a world outside a world. when you see the large panning shots in Vertigo of him panning up to a church, you really feel nervous for the main character, John, to go up the stairs with his mental illness. You're looking like you're nervous, and then he does the shot where he pans to the ground and the sharp music strikes, and you feel nervous for him. It somewhat looks cheesy because it was shot in the 1960s, but when you look at it, you're like, oh my God, I feel like I'm this high up. And his shots are very well particularly planned. Like I said, he thinks about the script ahead of the acting, and he thinks about the shots. He can build a whole movie just based on one shot in his head, and that is amazing. Another theme that I think is crazy is the theme, the sounds he uses. He has the best sound mixing. He'd win sound mixing every year if he was nominated in the Oscars this year. His sounds are so particular. They're so sharp. Like, strike of the violin, the piano, the looming dread that you see when you see in Vertigo, when he looks down, it hits you. It's sharp. It's crazy. When John looks at the ground, you're like, oh, that adds to the thriller. You want to be a little shocked in the suspense genre, and that's what he does. He shocks you with his sound. One movie I didn't talk about is Birds. Birds is another film he shot, and the whole movie doesn't have a single soundtrack underneath it. It's just natural sounds he creates by using the birds like gawking in the air and people screaming and the sharp violin sounds that you hear. And even in the movie Vertigo, he does have like an intro song, but it's very sharp sounds that gets you ready for what you're going to hear throughout the entire film. His sound mixing is better than any 90s film you'd ever hear. You know, the 90s films where you're watching it and you have to turn it up one scene and then you have to turn it down the other. It's just crazy to think that back in the 1960s, he did such a great job with sound. One of the last themes I want to talk about, of course, is sexuality within films. It isn't that bad of sexuality. You're not seeing full nude, but you are seeing more than what the Hays Codes allowed back then. The Hays Codes were set in stone to make films pretty much pure, I guess. You weren't allowed to kiss your significant other. You weren't allowed to see them in bed. And he pretty much, when the Hays Codes were getting phased out, he flipped that on its head. You see that in Psycho. You see Marion Crane in her bra, and that you never see that. And then once you get to the notorious shower scene, you see her with her back. You see all that. You see her getting slashed. You see different body parts, and you just would never, never see that in films. And he became a very actor that wanted to push boundaries. He wanted to break the forefront of what film should be, and I think he did an amazing job with all these things. Yeah, he might have caused some mischief between actors, you know, pretty much blacklisting Tippi Hedren because she wouldn't advance to him. And yeah, he was a pretty shady guy, but his eye for filmmaking is so unique. It's so planned out that you just couldn't. You even now watching these films, you're not going to get bored. It's so suspenseful. I know people go, oh, I don't like black and white movies, but you got to give his movies a chance because they're so suspenseful that you want to watch it the whole time. I've watched all these three movies multiple times and I never get tired of watching them. And I know the filmmakers podcast, we're going to be talking about other genres, but I feel out of all the other directors, they each have their techniques. I think this director is the most sound director, maybe close to Christopher Nolan, who we're going to talk about in the other weeks when it comes to how to shoot a shot, how to sound mix. And Christopher Nolan, has amazing sound mixing as well. If you see Inception, you notice how well the sound is. But I think Alfred Hitchcock would be winning sound mixing Oscars today. That's how well it's done. You never have to turn up or down your TV when it comes to a scene. So yeah, Alfred Hitchcock had his flaws, but in the end, he is still a great American director. He writes his films, he produces his films, and he directs them. And you even get that occasional, you always get when he comes to his movies, he'll walk across the shot every now and then. But it's fun. I think Alfred Hitchcock, in my opinion, on the Filmmakers Podcast, is a top five director of all time. Just the way he goes about creating his films. All right, guys, that's Andrew Gardner, and I am done with the Filmmakers Podcast. That's it for today. On the next show, we'll be talking about the comedy side of podcasts and Wes Anderson and his movies, Moonrise Kingdom, Grand Budapest Hotel, and, of course, the Bottle Rocket. And that will be it for today. Have a great day.